Welcome back to the Sunny Side, your number one station for Talk 92.39 during Fur FM. Good afternoon to you. How is your Tuesday afternoon going? It is 12 minutes gone past the 2 o'clock hour, the final hour on the show, and it is time to have that final conversation. My guest is here, although he's looking to... I will not say anything. Maybe by the time you watch us live, you understand what I'm talking about. We're going to be talking about enhancing continuity in governance. A very, very crucial topic, I must say, seeing that this is an election year. And the countdown has officially begun. Looking forward to the 25th of February, 2023, and the 11th of March, 2023. All things being equal, we get the chance to exercise our right to vote at the polls. Many laudable projects in the past in Nigeria have been stopped by successive governments after the tenure or removal of governments that initiated them. Sitting here, I can think of a few projects here in Rivers State. And the one that easily comes to mind is the monorail project. Now, if you live in the town axis or you do business around there or you have reason to move from one end of Port Harcourt to the town axis, I'm talking about main Port Harcourt town, you will see some pillars, very big pillars. That was the plan some years ago for the first ever monorail, courtesy of the then governor of River State, Governor Chibike Rotimi Amaechi. Now, it is said also that politicians in Nigeria are noted for some kind of vengeance and abandoning projects to those initiated by their predecessors, and they want to start new ones. You know, the legacy has to start with them. Whatever has been done in time past, they can't be bothered. And this does not make for accelerated development, if you ask me. Some of these projects are yet to be resuscitated as we speak, despite commitment of huge resources. Now, if you are one who has followed through the electioneering processes in Nigeria for some time now, or maybe you have paid particular attention to some of the campaign promises as well as manifestos or statements of some of the aspirants this time around, most of them have made promises to continue from where their predecessors left off, especially when they are running under the same political party as their predecessors. Now, one notable one I would not forget is a statement by the executive governor of Rivers State, who will often encourage people to vote for the candidate of the PDP here in Rivers State because it is intended to consolidate on the project that he has started, or his government has started. And one will think of the word continuity. Now, my guest in the studio is an educator and a national transformation agent. He's not a stranger to us. At some point, we'll even give him ID. Maybe he'll be seen as a staff member of Nigeria. Saike Chiwugu, good afternoon to you. And
good
welcome.
Afternoon, Denise. Happy New Year. Good to see you.
Yes, good to see you. Good
You're
to see
well,
you.
Well, I can tell. Enjoying your Yuletide.
All thanks to Almighty Father God. So, yeah. Without further ado, this is a serious matter, I must say. And for how long are we going to continue having what we call abandoned projects or projects that are not taking seriously solely because the government or the administration that spearheaded those projects in time past are no longer in office? And that is why the first question I'd like for us to answer would be if there is any, or there are any progressive gains, as it were, of continuity in governance. And before you answer that question, do remember that you can join the conversation live on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter handle is at Nigeria Info PH. Facebook page is Nigeria Info 92.3 PH. In due time, I will open the phone lines and I'll start taking your calls and, of course, reading your messages. So just hold on to the phone number. It is 070 0923-0923-070-0923-0923. WhatsApp number is 0809-030-6416. Now over to you, Saikechi. What are the progressive gains of continuity in governance?
Oh, well, I'll start by the way Bamanga Tsoko defined politics. Mm. He said politics isn't about politics, but rather a vehicle to advancing the people's progress lines.
Okay.
Now, that should be politics. But in Nigeria, you ask yourself, are we really playing politics the proper way? And you realize that in Nigeria, we further divide the lines between politics and state sponsorship. Mm. So you realize that in most of Nigeria, the motive of the politician, the ambition of the politician is to win the next elections. And then the motive of the statesman is actually to advance development lines through consultation, through interaction, through reasoning, through visioning and all that. And then you also get to another very popular, familiar trend, which is first world, third world. And you ask yourself, why are we the way we are? And you realize that the third world is not really a geographical location like a lot of people think. We're not third world because we're in Nigeria. We're third world because of the way we think. And you sit down and you listen to a cross-section of Nigerians in their conversation. You listen to radio and you wonder, why are we like this? Okay, because this conversation throws up a lot of issues. And most of what we have is the word interests. Okay. Yeah. So that further distinguishes the politician from the statesman. Because when we talk about politics or statesmanship, we're looking at whose interest that is. So the politician is thinking about pecuniary interests. Me, myself, and I. And then the statesman is thinking about national interests, communal interests, and all that. And we can spot statesmen and politicians everywhere. Now, when you talk about development, you ask yourself about vision. Is there a vision on the table? Do we have anything, Denise, that you know? Maybe you're a journalist. Maybe I don't know. Have you heard about anything called the National Vision? I'm not talking of Vision 2020. I'm not talking of Vision 2010. Because a lot of those things seem to be more on paper. But then you could tell that at some point, it seemed as though Nigeria said, we're going to be one of the 20 largest economies in the world by 2020. And somewhere around, you know, 2013, 2014, were noted to be the 26th largest economy in the world. Okay, and then what happened to all of that? And so you look around, you know, politics of development. Let's not focus this. Let's not limit this to abandoned projects. Mm. Okay, let's look at it to enunciated visions. Okay, this is the way the nations look at it. The nations come together. You have a lot of intellectuals. And they sit down and say, who are we going to be in the next 100 years, in the next 200 years? What do we see of ourselves? What do we think of ourselves? What do the nations elsewhere tell us about ourselves? How do we define ourselves? Okay? And then conversations begin. And men begin to put together, concoct ideas of what can become. And then you have what they call a national vision, okay? It's for the future. Visions are always for the future, but they have expiry dates. They are time-bound, okay? But they are documented. And so anyone else can run with them that reads them. So it's not about a political party. It's not about an administration. It's about nationality. And then some of those things, because, you know, like there's the obsolescence component of visions, okay? The vision today may expire after 2-3 years. So there are reviews to that document. Okay, so another set of intellectuals, but drawn from various states and locales, come together again and say, oh, no, this doesn't fit in anymore. Let's modify the other one. Oh, let's extend this. In fact, this is unrealistic. They begin to review that every 5 years, every 10 years. Okay, and in Nigeria, some of it is happening. Some banks are doing this. Some churches are doing this. And you look at the results. They compare notes with other progressive nations, and they can come back to the table. But as a nation, beyond talk, because I know a few callers would come in with some biases and say, no, Nigeria has been doing that. But what has the result been like? Okay, because yes, you have the National Council on Education. You have the National Economic Summit Group. You have this. These are small vision cells, okay, that should be collapsed together to forge what we call a national vision. And the beauty of the national vision is that you know it, I know it, it's on the public domain. And what you think of the future of Nigeria based on that vision, okay, we reconcile what I think, because there has been some form of agreement. And I think the legislative arm should not be very far from this. But where that is lacking, no vision, no blueprint, no hope for the future, then you have a case where somebody, an individual, individualism is projected, an individual comes on board. He is the governor, he's the president, he's the local government chairman, and he does his bidding, whatever he likes. In Nigeria, it's worse, because in most of what we see, most of politics in Nigeria, you realize that the governor holds sway, even over the legislative arm, over all the other arms of the government. The president holds sway. And so we're meant to have these three components, but we don't have them because, you know, everyone submits to the wishes of number one citizen, either the governor or the president. And so he does as he likes. Mm. So he has a cabinet of his errand boys who come together, some technocrats, but who are really scared to death of the principal. And so they don't want to lose their appointments. They've got their brains. You have some professors. We have some well-established, I mean, international personalities, okay, who are coming to sub. Not to express themselves, but to sub. And so some useful, some meaningful suggestions could be made, but it's incumbent on the principal to take it or not to take it. And then because the legislative arm is not very well developed, not very effective, you have cases of spontaneity where the governor comes in somewhere and sees this community and likes this community and says, okay, I order that the road be done here. What process? That's what we call due process. What process did that statement, I mean, before the statement comes to the public domain, what statements, I mean, what process did it follow through? And the House members are sitting down there and nobody probes, nobody queries, everybody, Oga has said this.
And they approve.
And they approve. So you are putting the cart before the horse. Okay, there should be a process of analysis, investment impact analysis. Okay, what is the impact? What's the bearing of this investment on the people? So you have a case where huge monies, because Oga has said so, are invested into investments. The intentions may be okay. Mammoth investments, huge billions of taxpayers' money are expended on investments, but because there isn't proper analysis of the impact on the people's progress and development, then all of those monies just go down the drain because there is really no meaning to those investments. And that's where we are.
If you're just joining us, it's the Sunny Side on your number one station for Talk 92.39 during FM. We're talking continuity, enhancing continuity in governance, seeing that this is an election year yet again. Saike Chiwogu is my guest for today. We go on a commercial break. When we come back, the conversation continues. Do join the conversation on Twitter at NigerianFOPH.
How do you like your eggs? Boiled, poached, scrambled, or sunny side up?
Well, it doesn't matter, as long as it's still remains an egg.
On the Sunny Side, we serve you different ideologies and perspectives, details about life experiences you can relate with.
Various worldviews, culture, and lifestyle converge, yet it's still coming to you on your number one station for talk, news, and sports, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Be a part of the Sunny Side every weekday, 12 noon to 3 p.m., and let's talk.
Now, if there's one thing our guest mentioned before we went on the commercial break, from everything he has said, I was able to pick a few things. He talked about a vision as a nation. Now, I'm going to ask, what should fuel the vision of any nation? Let's not just talk about Nigeria alone, or a vision of a state, as it were.
Yeah, so you look at a lot of things. You look at resources.
Okay.
Resources are divided into people, into materials, into financial resources, okay? You look at the economics of the resources and you look at the future. So will there be a future? If there is a future, then let's plan for it. You don't think that there's a future and you don't make any plan. Because you're literally killing that future. It's common statement now. He who fails to plan has only planned to fail. And so planning could be short term, it could be long term. But what is important is components must add up. Right. So when we're talking about visioning, we talk about a national plan. The plan details what you want to do in the area of education in the future. I mean, Nigeria is either catching up with the rest of the world or Nigeria should lead the world. Okay, so we like to talk about Dubai. We like to talk about America. These ones seem to have gone ahead, even beyond what you think about. Take, for example, let's talk about the tablet. What were we doing before the tablet came up? iPad and all that. What were we doing? But now they're here, and we do like our lives depend on them. That's visioning. Someone anticipated humanity and said humanity would need this. And now you can't do without it. Okay, that's the power of visioning. Okay, so it may not have existed before, but because people have put their thoughts, okay, to critical processes and criticisms, then you can birth something that would bear some usefulness for the future. And that's progress. Okay, and so now this is not about any political party. This is about national interest. This is about humanity. This is about the world. Because if Nigeria as a nation fails, everyone in the world gets affected because you will see migrations and all of that. And if Nigeria succeeds, then there will be tourism. So Nigeria must succeed, okay, to add to the wealth of the nations. And so when there is no such plan, there is no such thing, then everyone takes to every nature that seems good to him. And which is why you'd have a governor just sworn in and you ask him, what's your vision for the office? He says, I'm just coming in, so give me time. No, you don't just come in and begin to create a vision. You have been campaigning. What have you been thinking about? You've been interacting with people. You've been having town hall meetings, okay? What are the yearnings of the people? So most times, things like this, like you talked about the monorail project, most of the time, things like this happen because they are spontaneously put together. Maybe you want to pacify some contractor. He's your friend. Okay, Denise, please come and run this contract. You don't care how much. Denise saved my life when I was a school child in primary six. It is now time to bless Denise. And you just dump Denise's gratification on the wealth of the people, on taxpayers' money. It becomes a burden. And so you don't care that the monorail project has a destination plan, well thought out. And then look at the what I called investment impact assessment. Now, what will be the yields compared to the investment input? You have invested such huge monies, 10 billion, 20 billion, setting up the monorail. Okay, how quickly will there be returns on investment on that particular decision? Nobody cares about that. So if it's going to take 100 years, 200 years, nobody cares. I've done this and I'm walking away. I don't care what meaning it bears on the people.
Now, I have an argument, but then I would talk about that much later. Or maybe I should talk about it now. The argument is that for most of these projects, the visions, the planning and everything all putting perfectly together, the time frame becomes a problem. So now we run a government that, should exist for 4 years. And after 4 years, there's an opportunity to be re-elected for another 4 years. And some of these projects, some of these plans or visions or projects are long-term, as it were. So There are times when it is almost impossible to finish up after 4 years. Then there is a re-election bid. And after that 4 years again, that's a total of 8 years, it's almost impossible to finish up. Isn't that supposed to be more like a setback?
It shouldn't be a setback where there's the national... So imagine that there's a docket list of things that Nigeria needs, things that River State needs, okay? And some governor comes in and picks from that list and does some things, okay? And then there's another team reviewing that, okay? Reviewing the necessities of these thoughts that have been put together by some other team ahead of them. And then a new governor comes in. So the governor runs out his term. And then a new governor comes in, a new president comes in, a new local government chairman comes in and goes back to that list because the list has been legislated somewhat. The House of Assembly, National Assembly has sat over this and they've given their approval. There have been sessions of interaction even with the people. Okay, so the concerned civil society groups, the legal team, market women, we have all come together and we've said, look, we accept this as a working document. And so, Mr. Governor, Mr. President, please work with this. You're not asking yourself. Now, you could have a smart idea as a governor, okay, a specific smart idea. Like in the U.S., you had the Obamacare and you pass it through the eye of the needle. You pass it through the process. And if the people don't see it as reasonable in view of national interests, it is jettisoned. You don't force it down their throats as it is done in Nigeria. In fact, in Nigeria, you must like it because Mr. President has said so. You must accept it because Mr. Governor has said so. And nobody's asking, what is the yield at the end of the day? Like I said, investment impact assessment. Before you walk out to buy groundnuts or chinchin, you ask yourself, what is it for? Is this short-term gratification of hunger? Otherwise, I should keep some for my spouse. I should keep some for my children. You have your salary. What are you using your salary for? You sit down with your partner. Oh, we're going to build a house. This is 2023. Let's buy some land. We can't be paying rent. That's impact. Okay, let's buy some land. So someday we won't do this. If you squander all that money, the money goes. And then it puts pressure on your partner. It puts pressure on your children. And that's why you have cases where Mr. A earns money, Mrs. B earns money, she does her hair, he buys all the beverages and chicken and all that, and then you don't think about the children. Okay, the children will come, but you can't pay their school fees. But when you procreated them, you knew that they were going to be taken care of, but there's really no plan to take care of them. It's something that's the macro level, but that's the micro level. At the macro level, it's the same kind of thinking. You come up with a project. The project would require money, but because there's no process of fitting it with our reality, whether it's a road or something. Okay, let's go back to the monorail. The monorail would have been a useful project. But if they sat down and said, oh, there's so much traffic on this road, let's build a monorail that cuts off some parts of, commuting and makes it easy to move from point A to point B. Excellent. Now, there's the plan. But then when the review team comes and sits over that, they ask yourself, this is expensive. Can't we do this less? Can we not build a cheaper monorail? Can we not even build a cheaper road transport system? What is even causing the gridlock? Okay, let's build waterways here, okay, to reduce the pressure on this road. Let's build exit escape roads. Let's build... Thinking is coming in now. Analysis is coming in now. Not just what Mr. A said and not just what Mr. A thinks is right, because it's an institution, not an individual. Okay, and that's where the people own the development. They are part of it. And then we come up with the lines of best fits. And then investment is made and everybody supports it. And you can see, of course, would have gone ahead to tomorrow to say, okay, this is the investment. How soon are we getting returns on this investment? If it is viable, fine. If it is not viable, all objective thinking, we drop it. Okay, and then we move on to something else, whether it's in agri or it's in infrastructure, or it's in education. There are other areas for crying out loud. But in this part, you realize that you have a lot of governors, a lot of principals thinking only road, road, road. Not so much of other things, okay? And then you say you want continuity. So which governor, actually, with the meager resources, would want to come in and continue with a monorail project that doesn't really have, answers to the future of Nigerians?
All right, so at this point, I'm going to open the phone lines 070-0923-0923. And then, of course, the WhatsApp and Telegram number is 0809-030-6416. 0809-030-6416. We're live on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH is the Twitter handle, and our Facebook page is Nigeria Info 92.3 PH. We're talking enhancing continuity in governance. How best can we enhance continuity in governance? Saikechi, are there some other major setbacks that we have encountered as a nation as a result of lack of continuity?
Yes. So let me give you a very clear example. You work in Nigeria Info, mm-hmm. and there's a structure. Mm-hmm. It's been built over the years with money. And then each time a manager comes in, he says, because there's no institution, there's no vision, there's no system, okay? He says, I'm going to pull down this building and build something that hangs in the air. And then he comes in and resources are deployed. And then maybe he completes it, maybe he doesn't. And then a new manager comes in and destroys that and wants to start afresh. It drags us back. It slows down the pace of development. Money that should have been invested in other areas. Okay. Now compare that with one man coming in and saying, okay, I'm going to invest so much in agriculture. Like Donald Duke came into Calabar and said, I'm going to invest in tourism. Okay. The new governor didn't kill that. He probably had other interests. He came, Leah Lumoke came in and said, okay, I want to create energy cities in Calabar. Okay. Then this other man comes in and says, well, I want to build a mega tailor shop. They're not killing the original idea, even though there may not have been a state vision, okay? But you realize that everyone is at liberty to express his interests, okay, in this sense, even though there isn't an enunciated vision for the state. There could be some bit of spontaneity, but then you see that at the end of the day, it adds up. We are gradually covering up development lines here and there, okay? And one day we'll get some better sense of this. Okay, and then we'll put it together. So each time we want to abandon projects, someone sets up a shopping mall, and because the man who's coming in feels he's an enemy, and even though the shopping complex might make sense, but no, I'm not a continuity governor. I'm not a continuity local government chairman. I'm not a continuity president. He abandons that. But those are taxpayers' monies, right? And then he starts something else that he may not complete. Because like you said, you need to... There are certain projects that can be completed in 4 years, in 8 years. Some will take 20 years. For example, look at the East-West Road project. Imagine that every president from Obasanjo who started that, okay, then Yar'Adua, then Goodluck Jonathan, then now Buhari. Imagine that each president said, no, I don't like the direction of this road. Let's go to the sea and build my own because I want to make my own legacy. So sometimes it's born out of pride. Sometimes it's born out of lack of understanding of governance. Sometimes it's born out of selfish thinking. Sometimes it's born out of just the need to pacify a certain interest, a certain godfather, or a certain political interest. And most times it's very parochial.
Interesting. Okay, then. The lines are open. Feel free to calling or sending your messages, and I will gladly read them, as I always say. WhatsApp number once again, 0809-030-6416, 0809-030-6416. And the smart number to call is 070-0923-0923. Interest. The argument most times is that when a different political party takes over power, they are most times unwilling to continue with projects and visions initiated by the previous government. Should this be seen as true? And if it is, should it be so much of a problem? Because we've had some states that have had over the years, since the inception of democracy in Nigeria, have a political party produce governors of that state. And they have, you know, in their defense, said that all of this is in a bid to foster development, as it were. Every political party has an ideology, you will agree with me. And yes, while some of those ideologies are hinged on interest, some way, somehow down the line, they try to make us believe that they are also there willing to serve our interest. So this is not a, I wouldn't want to say it's PDP or it's APC. Maybe Nigeria Info Party, maybe Cool FM Party, it may be Wazobia Party. But oftentimes when you hear some of your campaigns, they usually would hinge on it. And some way, somehow, they've sold that narrative to the voters, the citizens. And in their head, okay, so this particular party did so well in this state. While we may not be comfortable with the candidate they are presenting to us at this time, we believe that if they produce another candidate, they may only come to build on what is already in existence, or they may come to do more than is already in existence. What do you say about that?
Let me take you a little off before I come back in. So somewhere in the East, some governor picked up an interest to be molding people. He wants to mold Nelson Mandela, mold Jacob Zuma, mold Ellen Johnson Sirleaf and all that. And you ask yourself, how does that advance the cause of the people? And then another political party gets elected in, okay, and doesn't see the need to keep on molding people. And then, okay, the court gets him out, and then another party man, the same party, comes in. And how many people has he molded? So sometimes, you know, there's something that characterizes most of our political leadership, and that's pride. And when they get into that seat of power, they fail to listen to the voice of reason, and they do things. There was something Odoagan of Delta State did some years back. You know, he opened up his page, his social media page, and he said, make suggestions. throw in what you think will advance. But that was in his first term. Of course, I don't know if he continued with that in his second term, but he seems to have picked a few ideas. Because, listen, the people you're coming to lead are not dummies. Some of them know much more than you, and they really want you to succeed because it's our Nigeria, it's our state. So another major reason why a lot of these political parties or political principals, right, want to bring on somebody they know and like is so they can cover up their mess. Because they do a lot of funny things in power. They get power drunk and they spend money like it's out of their pocket. Forget that they are responsible to the people. And so they want someone that can come and cover up their tracks. And it's commonplace. And let's be truthful about it. Okay, so I want Denise to come in because she's my girl. She has worked with me. She knows how to continue. That word continuity is she knows how to cover up. You wait until Denise defects to another party with another interest. Then she wants to be a woman of her own. And then she begins to expose all the mess that I did in office. And so if we had proper checks and balances, I mean, we're not a primitive people anymore. If we had proper checks and balances at the seat of government, you'll realize that things will begin to pan out better. And people will call us to question on certain interests that we have. And that should be the driving factor, especially for 2023 elections.
Interesting. A message here. Okay, let me take this call before I read the messages. Nigerian, for good afternoon. Welcome to the Sunny Side.
Good afternoon, Didi.
Good afternoon to you. Go ahead.
Jinke Daniel Imogeto Zwako.
You're welcome.
The issue concerning continuity is because not because of party. It is because of zoning.
Zoning? Hmm.
Yes. Zoning. Just now, Ikwere, that there in River State, I'm calling you from Abia State. It's happening here in Abia State as well.
Mm.
But let me talk about the state you are in. Yeah, when River Rhine person now take over, as the river people are expecting now, unless if a man from Ogoni takes over, they will like to do something tangible in the riverine area. Do you know that why most of us is blaming good luck now is because we feel that he didn't do anything tangible
in the south-south region.
The south-south area.
Mm.
So anybody, party, says don't to these people, I support it actually. Because you can't tell me that one community or one state has all the power for them. If it were so, then governor will come from the same zone and then the vice will come. So actually, that's the problem is zoning.
Okay.
So they will have their university. If you build those high-rise buildings in Secretariat, orderly will have done something. But his gas turbine, federal government was rated his effort. And Amechi schools and this monorail somehow along the line. Then we came on flyover. So they want to leave legacy, but within the way they are coming from,
they get zones. I think you just made a valid point, a zoning scene.
You know, we will grow as a nation, as a people. And when we grow up, we will realize that that is not the meat of the issue. I mean, we can have 1,000 presidents in sequence come from one particular region, one particular zone, and they will still advance the lines of development. You know, I was in some international
forum. But then it would seem unfair.
No, let me tell you something. I was in some international forum, okay, and then, you know, we're conversing on the same things, interests, zoning. This man came in and he didn't do anything for his people. And you know what one white man said to us? He just kept quiet and we're talking, Nigerians, blacks, and the man just kept quiet. And when we're done, he said, if that had happened in the United Kingdom, your president and you particularly take development to your people, you take roads to your mother's kitchen, you'll be arrested. Because as president, you no longer belong to your community. You belong to the nation. Mm. As governor, you no longer belong to your people. You belong to the state. And so that is why we say development must add up. Development should never be tilted because a riverine man is governor now. So let him focus on the riverine. And then, so that when the upland man comes in, that's pedestrian thinking. And we should be very careful how we project that.
But that has yes, that has fashioned or propelled our decisions on who emerges at the end
because,
of the day.
That's because we're proud to be third world people. And that's the kind of thinking that, because it works in Nigeria. It seems rational in Nigeria for the time to say that, okay, in Yendeba. Yeah, so when some people from here do this, because everyone in Nigeria, okay, does like that. So you have someone, because I'm president from the north, then northern interests. You go to Abuja, it's Abada, okay? It's northern interests. You focus more on the north. Then you come to the south. No, let's have our own. So that the focus can now be on the south. But what if we had someone from the north who focused only on the south? Because that's what development calls for. What if we had someone from the east who sat down and said, okay, the north needs something, the east needs something, the west needs something, the south needs something, and let me be Nigerian president. And it spreads development all around. Which will we prefer? Yeah.
All right, then. Someone says, concerning the issue of continuity, I think of field continuity in governance should certainly be encouraged, especially when you know the government in power at that particular point is doing what it takes to better the lives of people. The only thing that makes the incoming government not to continue with the abandoned projects of the former government is as a result of the fact that it's obvious that continuing with such projects won't have any positive impact on the masses. I agree that continuity should be encouraged, but only to the ones that will be beneficial to the masses and has growth in governance. Odili Chus, Chris is my name. Thank you, Odili. I'm Cass from Rimbibo. The truth about all this is that we don't have good governance. If you go to an advanced country like the USA, you will find out that all parties have their structure. And that's why when any president emerges, he or she walks by the party structure because they build the power on the party, not individual. But Nigeria build their strength on individual, and that's why when anyone emerges as president or governor, they walk by their own structure, not party structure. And that's why works are not continued. Selfish interest and pride is also a prime factor. Someone else says, good afternoon, Didi. I disagree with the last call about zoning. Anybody who has a good as a leader would have the mindset and continuity. The country is just corrupt. Everybody wants to do his own project. How will the state and country grow when our politicians visit European countries, spend holidays over there, wasting our money? God help us. High Chief from Alakaya. Nigerian, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the Sunny Side. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Denise.
Good afternoon. Go ahead.
My name is Muriel.
Go ahead.
This issue of continuity, I don't think it is very far from our politicians. I'll call them politicians. Because when they come, as they come from different parties, they come with their manifestos and their structure, and they work according to their manifestos, what they have told us they will do. All those campaign promises, some of them finally do not fulfill them. But I think they work according to their manifestos, which is quite different from what the past, their predecessor has done. And I want to praise Wike because he tried as much as he can to touch some of them and make his projects. But you see, and there's also this, I started a thing and I finished syndrome. This was my project. Nobody wants to say, okay, this is our project, this started it, and because we're experiencing it in this federal system now, projects that Jonathan started, especially the rail project, he started it, he has even funded it to an extent, almost finished it, and these people, APC, they've come in, and now they are crediting it to themselves. So everybody just wants to start their own and finish it if they can. So that this is theirs. They don't see it as a collective. And we don't have this rivers project. If the rivers can come together and say, see, this is what we want. Do this. When this one has finished, when this person leaves, you start from here. There is nobody that can talk for us. Everybody just comes and do whatever they like. So I don't see this continuity thing coming to play. It's very difficult. I don't know what to do.
Thank you, Miriam. Nigerian, for your guess is good. What he has not said about lack of continuity in government is that sometimes it is born out of the need to kill the legacy of the predecessor, like killing of a Goni banana plantation and send her in. Now, the last question I'd like to ask, I hope you'll be able to answer that before we run out of time. Moving forward, what should happen to some of these visible abandoned projects? Some of them are tangible. You can actually point to them and say, this is it. Buildings, structures, you name it. Some visions that were started by previous administrations, and they seem good for the time being, and now they have to stop them. Some time ago, I was reading about amnesty, right? And at some point, they wanted to stop amnesty and how funds were not coming in to further the vision, as it were, and how if it is not continued, it will lead to chaos and all of that. And the argument was that, okay, why do we still need to continue amnesty? If you do the crime, do the time, for heaven's sake. How has amnesty now even stopped the situation? We're still battling with banditry. We're still battling with terrorism in some parts of Nigeria and all of that. So what happens to some of these ones that are quite visible and we have seen the light in them, but for some reason nobody has decided to pick them up and continue?
Like, you know, what's one of your respondents said? Killing the legacies of the previous administration. That's petty, but it's real. In politics in Nigeria, there's a lot of displayed pettiness. Sometimes you wonder, are you serious? Are you for real? You know, like, I'll give you an example. There's the Reef Mall, just right at GRA Junction. It was started by Governor Celestine Omehia, just within the short term of his stay. That building, to a large extent, was completed and all that. It was meant to serve the purpose of marketing. It was commercial, right? But then Chibike Amichi comes in and doesn't see the need to continue that project, okay? And then he leaves the project like that. Everything, the cladding, everything has been stolen. It's just the caca standing there, okay? And then he goes on to start the Port Harcourt spa, what you call spa today, right? Mm. Good. And then Amichi leaves, and then Wike has come in, okay? And then we have ShopRite. We have a lot of other developmental projects. And nobody's asking, why don't we do this? Why don't we go back and identify with this other project? Do we kill it? Do we destroy it? So if we're selling the land, let's put the land to better use rather than have that thing deface the beauty of the landscape, right? Or otherwise, it could be concessioned. Let's put it open for interests. Is there any private individual that might be interested in coming in and putting use to this? The state earns money. But if money has been invested, then money should be returned somehow by our calculation.
All right, someone says, good afternoon, Didi. Your guess is right, but our politicians are not seeing that light. They take overpower to chop and to settle their allies. Okay, I'll come back to this message after this commercial break, and then we would round off. So the Sunny Side, quite an interesting one, I must say. To stay tuned to us, we are Nigeria Info.
You're tuned to your number one talk station, Nigeria Info. Welcome back to the show.
All right, so before we went into break, I was about to read a message. I'll just dive right into it. It says, good afternoon, Didi. Your guess is right, but our politicians do not see in that light. They take over power to chop and settle their allies. It is in Nigeria that we have Emiloka, meaning my own turn. Some people feel the country belongs to them, and so they can do anything without question. Lady V, send that message in. Okay, I think this is all we have time for at the moment, but before we leave, let us establish something, and that, I think that would be Sai Kechi's final or parting word to us. The way forward, as always, how best can we enhance continuity?
Government everywhere is a continuum, so it's absurd to say that government or governance is not continued with, but it only makes sense when there is a plan. So you're continuing a story, not just starting yours afresh. Because starting yours afresh could have dire implications. It could be costly, okay? Yeah, the only time you're permitted as leader, as principal, governor, president, to discontinue with a previous administrator's project is where they don't add up economically. They don't have any bearing. I mean, this man just went, you know, wild and he chose to do this, okay? He's wasted money. In fact, in some cases, he should be probed. He should be prosecuted for just wasting, because this is taxpayers' money. People contributed you know, and put this in your custody and say, lead us to the future. Are you leading us to the future or you're stagnating us? Because that money won't be there tomorrow. It's been wasted. So the man should be called to question at some point. Okay? And I call for responsibility. We're going into 2023. I think I'll use this medium to say, vote for the most responsible. Hear them speak. Who have they been yesterday? Who do they presume to be tomorrow? What's their vision? Okay? And how does that add up to your own development? Vote for that candidate that resembles the kind of future that you want to have.
And that brings us to the end of the Sunny Side today. Thank you so much, Sai Kechi, for your time.
Thank you.
Follow us on our social media handles at Nigeria Info PH and Twitter, at Nigeria Info FM underscore PH and Instagram, and Nigeria Info 92.3 PH and Facebook. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at underscore Denise underscore Dennis. That's DENISEDNNIS. Do enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.